It's Lent. It's Ash Wednesday, March 6th, and Lent is beginning. The Christian season of Lent has many meanings, but essentially it is a season of preparation, observed during the 40 days leading up to Easter. Over the centuries, many Christians have chosen to make this a season of self-denial, mortifying their flesh in imitation of Christ, who, according to the Gospels, spent 40 days fasting in the wilderness just prior to his crucifixion. Although Christ did withdraw for a period of fasting and prayer, during which time he was tempted in the wilderness by a deceiver whose temptations he resisted, the larger purpose of Jesus' spiritual retreat was to understand his mission on earth, how he should live, how he should die. In this sense, Lent is a season of spiritual renewal, or, as our dean has informed us in this week's newsletter, Lent is Easter in disguise. It's a time to be revived, renewed, and rejuvenated. At least, I am approaching Lent as a season of renewal this year. Specifically, I'm going to be reading a devotional pamphlet put out by an Episcopal organization called The Living Compass. The booklet is called Living Well Through Lent 2019. Practicing forgiveness with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Although I'm using the booklet in printed form, it is also available as a free downloadable PDF, and I believe it can also be purchased as an app. There is a Spanish language version too. For more information about Living Well Through Lent 2019, go to the website livingcompass.org. The opening reflection for Ash Wednesday, written by the Right Reverend Jennifer Baskerville Burroughs, introduces the topic of extreme or radical forgiveness. At the outset, she describes extreme forgiveness as a divine attribute. It is in the character of God to have mercy and to forgive every category of human sin. But she then describes the case of Mrs. Eva Kaur, a Holocaust survivor and a subject of Dr. Mengele's eugenic testing. Late in life, Ms. Kaur, who emigrated to the U.S., has chosen extreme forgiveness as a way to transcend the weight of all that she and millions of others suffered at the hands of the Nazis. Reverend Burroughs writes, Lent is our time to be intentional about taking stock of the most broken parts of our lives and our world as we seek forgiveness for our sins of omission and commission. It may be too much to imagine writing a letter of forgiveness to someone who has caused us pain or done violence to us. It might be beyond our fathoming to recount the pain, let alone forgive. It may seem too extreme. And yet, Jesus, who had an enviable well of forgiveness to draw upon, even as he hung from the cross, continually calls us to the way of love and new depths of grace, mercy, and liberation. There are many paths to liberation, and extreme forgiveness is but one. However we get there, may this Lenten journey lead to the healing of ourselves and our world that allows resurrection, not evil, to be our defining story. For each day of Lent, the booklet offers a brief written meditation on a different aspect of forgiveness as a concept and a process, and how the dynamic of injury and pardon engages our hearts, minds, souls, and bodies. The reader is then invited to write a response to each day's reading. Here is mine. To be honest, I worry that thinking too much about forgiveness will destabilize me. It is a complex topic, embracing as it does sins of commission and omission, that is, things done and left undone, as well as social wrongs for which we might bear complicity. Meditating on this topic involves contemplating recent and maybe slight hurts, as well as those that are more grave and may have occurred long ago. And practicing forgiveness is an entirely different process at first glance than seeking forgiveness. The former involves giving pardon to someone who may have wronged me, while the latter involves being pardoned for something regrettable or damaging that I have done. I also suspect that most of my sins are those of omission, for I have often been indecisive, immobilized by doubt and fear, in a word, cowardly. I often wake up feeling awful about something decent that I just didn't have the nerve to do, or do yet. And, in thinking of forgiveness and those who have hurt me, I am struck by how few of those people have ever taken the initiative to acknowledge their injurious acts, and how they wounded my feelings or inflicted tangible and lasting harm. But in the practicing forgiveness model, that doesn't matter, because putting my finger on those hurts and proactively pardoning the people who inflicted them is all on me. When someone hurts me and doesn't admit that or apologize, that leaves me feeling very small. So I get why Ms. Kaur found that offering radical pardon to a Nazi perpetrator left her freer and lighter afterward.